We're going to be beginning, hopefully, in the next few weeks as we end the year, okay, on a series of the life of faith, okay, how we live by faith in Christ. And hopefully, over the next few weeks, we will learn. And looking at the life of some of the men of faith in the Bible, and then apply those principles to our lives. And as I was going through, the more I think of it, I think sometimes we miss, all right, what God actually has for us. I'm sure many of us are trying to walk by faith. Hopefully this series of lessons will actually help us. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, all right? Chapter 11 and 10 as we read. Hebrews 11. We'll be reading verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and then finish at verse 6. But we won't be reading 4 and 5, okay? So 1, 2, 3, and verse 6. All right? Just four verses. 1, 2, 3, and verse number 6. Are you ready? Okay, I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, then I'll read verse 3, and then we'll all read verse 6 together. Hebrews 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Verse 2. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6, together. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we pray by faith. We pray by faith because we know that God, You are a Spirit, and they that worship You must worship in spirit and in truth. But unless by faith we believe, Lord, in Your Word, what You've said in Your Word about who You are, it's very hard for us, Lord, to pray practically. So, Father, I pray that beginning today for the next few weeks as we close the year, I pray we'll evaluate our faith in You through Your precious Word, through the life of Abel and Noah and Enoch, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Jacob, Joshua, Samson, these people in the Bible, that Father, because they are put in, is to illustrate what it means to live a life of faith. And I pray, Lord, that we'll honestly look at our lives and see how we live so that our life will be a walk of faith. We thank You for what You're going to do. I pray You bless this message according to Your will. And that Father, as Christians, we will understand what You mean by faith. Well, thank You, Lord. May Thy Holy Spirit be the teacher, and the convicting work of the Holy Spirit be on our lives, Lord, as we yield to You. Well, thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, just some preliminary thoughts before I begin. I believe that this series will be very important for us to at least understand clearly what a life of faith is, okay? Now, hopefully over the next few weeks as you begin to take notes, you understand a little bit more clearly how you can walk by faith. All right, it's very exciting. All right, by way of introduction, the Bible actually teaches us salvation is by grace. Yes? Salvation is by grace. As we grow, also sanctification is by grace. Okay, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." By God's grace we are saved through faith. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You don't work for a gift. Okay, there's always this joke going around. Oh, come and collect your free gift. A gift is free. You don't have to put free gift, okay? A gift is free. The Bible says salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is God's part in our salvation. Okay? God has to give grace to us. Grace is always on God's part. But I want you to notice a very important element in that first part of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, "By grace are ye saved through the instrumentality of faith." Through faith. God has promised all things necessary for us in our Christian life. Would you agree with that? All things, the Bible says, He has provided His Word, He's provided us salvation. He's provided us redemption in Christ. And if we believe in the salvation, if we believe in the Word of God, we believe in the grace that God has given to us, it is available to us to be saved. In our Christian life, what has God provided for us for our Christian life? Anyone? What has God provided for us so that we can grow in our Christian life? Anyone? Sorry? Sorry? What is it? What are the elements? What are the elements? What? The Holy Spirit of God to guide us. What else? Sorry? What? His Word. Yes, His Holy Word. Okay. What else? Prayer. An opportunity of communication with God. The local church. And you know, if our believer, if someone believes in those things and avail themselves to those things, they will grow in Christ. Now, as we look at the book of Hebrews, I just want to give you that as an introduction. The book of Hebrews, this book was written, I believe, by Paul, all right? There's a lot of controversy about it, but we won't go into that. But I believe the book was written by Paul to the Jews. The Jews were in danger of slipping back into their old Judaistic ways, much like many Christians who like to slip back into their worldly ways. Yes? I think this is a very apt book for many of us. Paul goes at length to explain why Christ is better than the Mosaic way. And the Bible often tells us that we need to love God more than this world. The Jews and many of us are more comfortable with following perhaps do's and don'ts. Okay, generally people like structure, generally, okay, do this and do that. Especially in spiritual life, people who say, "If I do this, then I'm safe, right? 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 I do this, then I'm safe, right? Right? You can do this and still not safe. Okay? There are certain things that, oh, if I do this, then I'm a Christian. Not that it's really so." Because our salvation is not based on a set of do's and don'ts. It's based on faith in Christ. That's what the Bible says very clearly. Okay? But people will say, if I pray a sinner's prayer, I'm safe, right? Yeah, you can pray the sinner's prayer, but you don't believe what you pray. It doesn't work. Because it's a life of faith. So the Jews were also going through some persecution and opposition to their faith. Paul in Hebrews 10, verse 38, the verse there, "The just shall live by faith." Paul highlights this to encourage them, because if you read the few verses before, you realize that Paul highlighted some difficulties they've already going through. If you look at Hebrews 11, Paul lists down a list of elders, okay? Now, lists down a list of elders. In verse 2, he says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." By faith, the elders, who are the elders? The elders are the people of the Old Testament. They obtained a good report of God. Now, these elders lived, overcome trials, the danger, the inconveniences, the tragedies of life, to become so-called heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. How did they overcome? There's one, what is two words that goes through Hebrews 11 all the time? What are two words? By faith. By faith. This is important because many Christians, after we get saved, I was just reflecting on spiritual growth, reflecting on how come sometimes as Christians, oh, we know the Bible very well, but how come we're not growing in faith? Yeah, we understand grace. We always say, "Oh, thank God. You know, thank God for His grace." But our lives can remain the same. We can say the spiritual things, "Thank God for His grace, thank God for His grace, thank God for His grace." But there don't seem to be a growth in our faith in God. There was one friend I had when I was in JC. And everyone knew this person. Because every time she comes for 1.5 years in prayer meeting, she will always highlight the same problem. Oh, she thanked God and all that, but she always highlight the same problem. All right? Why? Is God not able to overcome that particular issue? All right, I just want to drop that in first. Look at Galatians 3, verse 2. Galatians 3, verse 3. This is an important passage for us as Christians. Paul was addressing the Galatian church. They had one problem. They were a young church, but as they were trying to grow in Christ, there were some legalistic Jews who come in and say, "You have to be saved by circumcision. You got to do good works. You got to follow the Mosaic law. Then you can be saved." And so he says in verse 2, Galatians 3 verse 2. This only would I learn of you. In other words, I just want to know one thing from you. Did receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? In other words, how did you get saved? Did you get saved by doing the works of the law? Or by receiving Christ as your Savior, by faith? Of course, they knew the answer. It was by faith, yes? Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, having trusted Christ by faith in the Spirit, are you going to be made perfect by living in the flesh? You know what they're saying? If you started your Christian life by faith, then why are you living your life by what you think? By the things that you think is right, rather than by faith. Many people, although God's grace is given to them, may still be choosing to live by their own flesh and by their own thinking, and never actually get past to a point of life of faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Those who know, have read the scriptures, will know that three times in the Bible that is mentioned. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, Romans 1:17, and Hebrews 10:32. But it's interesting because in Habakkuk 2 verse 4, let me just read, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." I say again, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him." In other words, God says those Jews who are proud against God is not right, but the just shall live by his faith. His faith. The adjective is given, the faith belongs to that person who believes in what God has given to him, God has done for him. This is an important thing. Because many people say, "Oh, I just live by faith, Lord. I just trust." Singaporeans always say, "I just trust God, Lord. Just trust God, Lord." What does that really mean? Just trust God, Lord. Just trust God's law. Why do we say just trust God? Many Christians say that, and hopefully in the message we'll get past, just trust God. And after I highlight from scripture that many people trust God law in general, but they don't trust God in specifics. And that's an important truth for the life of faith, okay? Now, I was in Australia, and I think I shared this before. I share it again for the benefit of those who, you know, there was this interesting talk by this guy. His name is, if I'm not wrong, his name is Professor Carl Whelan. Professor Carl Whelan is a creation scientist. He was an evolutionist before. But then he was invited to a creation kind of a Bible study. You know, he was there, you know, kind of just sitting and listening. First time he listened, yeah, good. But by the sixth session, he was quite intrigued. And he began to realize that many of the things he learned as a professor actually supported creationism. Thank God he got saved. And then he went on to... And Carl Whelan is known as a professor. There's no question in science that he cannot answer. That's how smart he was. All right. For the 1 hour, as people were asking questions about different things, and he was able to draw a diagram. It was in the University of Western Australia. It was to invite these academics and these students, and they would ask all kinds of questions. And he can answer questions of biology, physics, chemistry, anything. He's just so smart. Then about 1 hour plus, there was this guy who asked, "Hi, professor, I just ask you this question. How can you prove that there's a God? How can you prove that there's a God?" And maybe for teenagers, if I ask Phoebe or Catherine, "Okay, how do you prove that there's a God?" But then the whole room became silent. You know, and it was kind of, this professor was just as humble, and he was, "You know, sir, that's a good question," he began. And he said, "No, it is very hard for us to, we can't put God in a test tube and test whether he's real or not." And what he answered, and this is an answer I believe is from the scriptures, he says, "Sir, I can't prove to you that there's a God. You need to believe that there's a God. And in fact, I insist on your faith to believe that there's a God." Because did you know that in the Bible, God did not attempt to prove himself. He just said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." You know, that's important. Today, I want us to honestly look at our Christian life and ask ourselves, yes, we thank God for his grace, and truly it is by his grace we are what we are today, amen? It's truly by his grace we are what we are. But I want to ask two questions as we go through this message. What does it mean to live a life of faith? And secondly, the question is, am I living a life of faith? Because I can tell you from this book in Hebrews, Paul is challenging the Jews to live a life of faith. Because they were going through trials. They were struggling between their opinions of the old law, or should I follow Jesus? It was a matter of faith. Why is faith important? I'll give you three reasons. In John chapter 8, verse 24, may I just get people to, maybe Ra Song Ling can help us. John chapter 8, verse 24. You turn there. And if Brother Joshua Hoon, do you mind turning to Mark 16, 16? Just for time, right? Brother Jacob, can you turn to, because it's not inside the words, these are additional ones, because I think it's very important. And then 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, okay? We can all turn to that later. Why is faith important? John 8, 13, 24.
I said therefore unto you, and ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins.
Why is it important? Number one, our eternal destiny depends on faith. Your eternal destiny depends on faith. Because Jesus said, if ye believe not, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Mark 16, verse 16. The Bible says, he that believeth not shall be damned. Your eternal destiny depends on your faith. Where you put your faith on. We're not playing a fool here. According to the Holy Scriptures, if you believe not, you'll be damned. So faith is important because your eternal destiny depends based on faith. But then in Hebrews 11, verse 33, let's turn there. Hebrews 11, verse 33, because it's not written there. It's something that is important. It's important during our times of trials. Faith is important because during our times of trials, we depend on faith to get us through our trials. In verse 33, let me just read. Maybe in verse 32, I read. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, of all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. And listen, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. By faith, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith. Faith is vital because it gets you through your trials, and many Christians go through trials without faith. And that's why they always, always, always complain. But here in the book of the book that God gave us says, it is through faith you get through your trials. Faith is important because it will get you through your trials, and I hope Ambassador will be in Church of Faith, that despite the difficult times, both as a church and individually, you are able, with faith in God, says, hey, God got me through that. And I can try. Faith is important because it will be faith that will take you through the times of trials. And number three, faith is vital because it is vital for our spiritual life. It is by faith that we grow. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, let me just read. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when you hear the word of God from this pulpit, whether from me, Brother Desmond, Brother Denzel, Brother June, whoever will preach, you know, Paul is just saying, just pretend we're the Thessalonian church, okay? You know what Paul was saying to the Thessalonian church? You guys, when we preach, we are so grateful. Because when we preach, you didn't receive it as if it's word from man, but it's word from heaven. And you believe in the words that were spoken. And the Bible says, which effectually worketh in you that believes. That's what 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Faith is important for our spiritual life. What does faith do for us? Well, five things we will learn. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. Five things faith will do for us. And I want us to follow closely. Because I believe this is the starting point where Paul defines faith. Number one, in Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith imparts reality to what we believe. Point number one, faith imparts reality to what we believe. That means it makes what we believe real. Okay, that's the first point. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance, let me explain right through the verse, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance means something concrete. Alright, I mentioned before it's sub, under, stands means to stand, means a foundation, something concrete. The word substance means something concrete. Interestingly, through further study, it's actually a scientific word. It means something that is real as opposed to a hypothesis. So faith is a substance, a concrete, a scientific term. Something concrete, okay? Or it makes the stuff that we believe. So faith is the real stuff. Or faith is the stuff that... Or it makes the stuff that we believe real. Does that make sense? Okay? Now the second part is the evidence of things not seen. This word evidence is the evidence we use in court. It's actually legal. It's called legal evidence. Evidence presented in court to prove that something is real. Okay? So you have scientific faith, it's the scientific evidence and the legal evidence to prove what you believe is real. This is a universal principle. Paul is just stating a universal principle. Whatever you believe is real to you, whatever you believe is real to you. If you believe your trouble is the biggest thing in the world, your trouble is the biggest thing in the world to you. Agree? If you believe that Santa Claus is real, then on Christmas Eve, you'll be waiting up for him. Right? Whatever you believe is real to you. This is important. If you believe in the tooth fairy, how many of you believe in the tooth fairy? The Americans, apparently they do. This is not a Singaporean thing. What do we believe? We believe in things that... The Asians like to believe in horror movies. I don't know why. But anyway, when a person has a belief, a religion, it can be very real to the person. Yes? But the problem is, if the belief or the religion is not true, then you are living a fantasy that is not true. That means your faith is not reality. Does that make sense? Follow along the argument. Because Paul explains that faith is something that is concrete. Faith makes the things you believe real in your life. So if you believe your life is tragic, you live that kind of life. Because you believe that it's, oh, my whole life, I don't know. Some people believe in fate. Some people believe in whatever. You know, your life will pattern after that. Okay? But when we have genuine faith in Christ, in the same way, that faith becomes real to us. Because faith makes the truth real to us. Let me explain from the scriptures. There was a father who had a problem. In fact, he has a lifelong problem. You know what the problem is? He had a demon-possessed son. This is a story from the Bible. He had a demon-possessed son. And he lived with that problem. Let's look at Mark chapter 9. Okay? He lived with that problem. You know why he had a problem all his life? He's a Jew. In Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 9 verse 23, he had a problem all his life is because he lived in unbelief. He admitted it. Lord, I believe, I help them. But he lived in unbelief. One day, perhaps in desperation, he brought his son to the disciples, but the disciples could not cast him out. Okay, for those who know your Bible, what did Jesus say was a problem with the disciples who couldn't cast him out? What was their problem? Because of unbelief. And so, the problem, and then the Lord Jesus came and asked him to bring the boy to him, and he wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to heal his son. In Mark 9:23, this is what Jesus said to him. No, in verse 22 first, if thou canst do anything, just trust God, law. If you can do anything, just let him do law. You know what Jesus then told him? If you can believe, he turned the tide on him. The reason why this father had a lifelong problem was because he believed. But his belief was so general. But God turned around and said, if you can believe. And then he confessed in verse 24, Lord, help my unbelief. You know what's the problem with this person who had a lifelong problem? You know what his problem was? What was his problem? Unbelief. And perhaps he was putting faith in doctors, he was putting faith in his money, he was putting faith in different things, but it wasn't helping. To the point he got desperate, he went to the Lord Jesus, and Jesus actually pinpointed the problem. The reason why you have problems all your life is because you did not believe me. Okay? If you believe, all things are possible unto him. There was another person in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. And this point is to see faith imparts reality. Okay? Imparts reality what we believe. Matthew 8, verse 8. The Bible says, I think it's there, right? The centurion answered and said, there was this centurion who also had another servant who was sick. And this centurion was a Roman centurion, not even the Jews. He don't have the knowledge of God. Or rather, perhaps he attends synagogue as a visitor, that kind of thing. But the centurion answered and said, no, and this, the Pharisees were like this centurion. Why did the Pharisees like this centurion? Those who know your Bible. Why did the Pharisees like this centurion? Oh, he gave money to build a synagogue. Say, wait, Jesus, you need to help him, you know. And so, the Roman centurion, interestingly, as Jesus said, I'll go and heal your daughter. But notice what the centurion said, 8 verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy thou shouldest come into my roof. Lord, I'm not worthy that you come into my roof. Speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only, that servant shall be healed. The Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 10, was taken aback. He said, well, surely I say unto you. He said, wow. Never seen such great faith in Israel. No, not in Israel. You know why? This centurion, there's no evidence, all he had was a faith in this Jewish carpenter. Lord, just say the word. It will happen. Faith imparts reality into what you believe. Understand this, Christian. When you believe in the word of God, in Jesus, it's real. This Roman centurion said, Lord, just speak the word. It will happen. It will happen. And guess what? Jesus said, well, I have not found so great faith. In verse 13, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the Bible says, his servant was healed in the self same hour. Hebrews 4 verse 2. You know, sometimes in our lives, we hear the word of God. You know why it doesn't work for us? Hebrews 4 verse 12, the Bible says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. You know why? Not being mixed with faith. In other words, let me just explain, perhaps more practically. Faith imparts reality. How many of you believe in the rapture? Put up your hand. You believe in the rapture? Jesus is coming soon, yes? How many believe in heaven? Amen. How many believe in the salvation of your loved ones, that God wants to save them? How many believe that sin is wrong? You all believe, right? How many of us who sin? We all sin, right? Because we are. We all believe that there's a rapture. But does the faith in the revealed teaching of the rapture impart reality to your life, that is as if it's going to happen? You believe you're going to heaven by faith. But is heaven something that is real to you? You believe that God wants to save your loved ones. That's in the Word. But is it real to you? Does what you believe in the Bible impart reality into your life? Notice it's interesting because this reality will influence your life and your actions. When Paul says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, what you believe, because of your faith in that thing, it is very real to you. And Paul says it will influence your life and your actions in that same direction. That's why faith imparts reality to what you believe. That's a general universal principle, but applying us to Christians, Paul uses that and says, many Christians are not living the life of faith because they have unbelief in this word. After this, I'll highlight a little bit more. I hope you understand. Number one, faith imparts reality because faith is the substance of things that you hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So which means if you genuinely believe in God, it should influence your life in that direction, number one. Number two, verse number two says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Number two, faith receives the commendation of God. Faith receives the commendation of God. For by it the elders, referring to the Old Testament, obtained a good report. The word good report means a witness. In other words, if God stands in a witness stand and looks at the life maybe of Brother Rolando, and God is saying, well, Brother Rolando is living a life of faith. He received a good report from God. Now, how does that happen? I think many of us believe that Jesus is coming again. Is the coming of Christ real to you? Is the coming of Christ real to you? Just to apply this, I had a friend who once told me a few weeks before his A-level exams, he said this, I'm concerned that I'm not concerned about my A-level exams. A-level exam is real, it's coming. But he says, I'm concerned that I'm not concerned for my A-level exams. It's kind of like the rapture. We all know Jesus is coming soon, right? How many of you are concerned that you're not concerned about the rapture? You know, Jesus actually says, occupy till I come. He's going to come soon. The signs are visible, by the way. Israel and all the signs in the heavens and the famines and the pestilence that happen, all are visible. He's coming. But how many of us are living our life as if He's coming? Faith makes the future present. That's why Paul believed the rapture was going to happen in his lifetime. Because Jesus taught him He's coming back. He said, hey, Christ is going to come. He lived the reality of the faith. Okay? Faith received the commendation of God. Let me ask you, what do you believe? Many of us believe this Bible, right? A life of faith means that when you believe this word, your direction and life will do what it says. Your direction and your life will do what it says. Because you put faith in Christ, ma. And so your life should actually be, because it should be real to you, right? Is it possible that sometimes we are unbelieving believers? And that's important truth. Let's turn to the book of James chapter 2. What did the Lord Jesus say to do before He comes? Faith received the commendation of God. James chapter 2 verse 18. The Bible says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. You can say you have faith, you believe in God, I have works. Show me thy faith without your works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Let me ask you, which is more credible? I believe in God. A, believe in God, don't have works. A, believe in God. B, believe in God, have works. Which is more credible? B, because you have faith and works. That's what James is saying. You say you believe in God, right? Then James goes on and says, the devils also believe and tremble. I mentioned that in Sunday school. Now, what's the purpose? He then goes on in verse 21 to show us what it means. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? That was great faith. Do you know how great that faith was? I wanted to actually have a table here and then bring Joy Joy down, wrap her up, bring a knife. Okay? You know how great faith Abraham had? God says, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Not by Hagar, by Sarah. And Abraham laughed at God and said, well, you know, Sarah's a good woman, but you know, he's 90 years old. I don't think he can bear. God says, your Sarah is going to have a son. And then, after the son came out, right, he's going to be the lineage of David, right? He's going to be the line where Jesus will come from. And then God comes and says, I want you to sacrifice your son. You know what? For us, we will say, God, say what? You want me to kill my own son that you've given me so that the promise can be given? God, I think there's something wrong in that reasoning. That was not what Abraham said. You know what Abraham said? Yes, Lord. You know what was involved in that? He has to bring his son. The son, we're going out to worship. Okay, the son, obedient, go. And after that, travel 3 days journey, and then they walk. Servant, you stay here, we're going to sacrifice, and then we'll come back. And then it's Isaac with Pa. I know God has given us his gift of sacrifice, but we got the wood, we got the everything else, but where's the sacrifice? That God will provide his own sacrifice. I don't think Isaac is stupid. When Abraham began to tie him and put him on the altar, I don't know where in the scripture it is said that Isaac actually struggled. And you know what? Abraham went as far as to raise up his hand, ready to kill. The Bible taught us that situation in the book of Romans, that Abraham knew that even if he killed his son, God will raise his son from the dead. Because God was faithful to his promise that he's going to have a son to continue that line. That's why God praised Abraham. Later on in Genesis chapter 22, let me just read that. In verse 11, the angel of the Lord, as Abraham was going to kill the son, the angel from heaven cried, stop, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. And then in James 2:22, let me just read, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Abraham's faith was commended by God. Let me ask you, when God puts you through a trial, when God puts you through a difficult time, what is your response? Oh, we know God's grace is going to take us through, but what is your response? Do we go through it complaining? Bad deal, man. Or do we say in our minds, God has a plan? God has a plan. Sometimes even through tears, you can say, God has a plan. Because your faith. And that kind of faith God commends. That was what he said in Abraham's situation. Christian, God actually wants to praise us. We know how to receive his praise by faith. Every decision you make, every step you take, every place you go, every word you speak, every heart intention you have should be by faith. And you will receive the commendation of God. Because in verse 2, the Bible says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And you know in the Old Testament there are many elders who obtain good report from God. Point number 3, let me quickly move because this is important. In Hebrews 11 verse 3, faith lives by revelation. Faith imparts reality. Faith receive a good report from God. Commendation. And number 3, faith lives by revelation. The Bible says, Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All of us here, young people, please listen. All of us here, especially the young people, as you grow up, need to be very clear where you came from. You need to be very, very clear where you came from. The world's going to tell you come from monkeys. Yes? The science book, there was one time I was in a shepherd group, there was this primary 2 boy who came out and started, say, well, I got this book from the library, you know, and said, millions of years ago, And I say, brother so-and-so, I think, I told the son, this is not true. The moment I said that, that son looked at the book,
closed the book and walked. Was very sad.
Perhaps that was what he was taught in school. Parents, please be careful. Because of the philosophies they are going through the schools. Every young person, you need to decide where you came from. Because the Bible tells us, through faith, we understand this world was framed. The word frame means this world was organized, this world was ordained, ordered, and the things that happen and the processes in the universe, the evaporation, the condensation, how the solar system moves, everything was framed by what? By what? The Word of God. You know what that means? By revelation. Now this is important because some people believe this world, they believe in the Big Bang, they believe in billions of years. Can I say this? You can either live by revelation of God's Word or you can live by speculation. Because billions of years is a speculation. The Big Bang is a speculation. Notice what Paul says, by faith we understand this world were ordered, organized, planned out by the Word of God. Where is this found? Can you tell me? Where is this verse found in the Bible that we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God? Where is it found? Are those in the lamps? Or anyone? Where is it found? Where is it found? Genesis 1, verse 1. The Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So it's revelation. So Paul says, from the beginning, through faith we understand this world. In other words, the starting place of your faith, genuine biblical faith, or other faith, not based on the genuine revealed word of God, is false faith, is a faith that will cause disillusionment, is a faith that will bring you down the wrong track. Through faith we believe and understand the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God. Okay? This is important. Let's turn to Daniel 4 verse 17. So whatever happens in this world, there is a faith, there is the faith to believe that God is in control. Amen? If you believe God from the beginning of Genesis 1, in your Bible reading, which you know that your Sunday school teachers have faithfully taught you through the years, and you have grown up in Ambassador, or in any Sunday school that teaches the Word of God, you would have known that in any trial in your life, God is in control. Amen? Which means there's no place for complaining. Oh yeah, humanly we do complain. Why must I go through? But even at the end of that sign, you know what you need to say? God, your word is still true. I'm still going to live a life of faith. You're in control. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Let me give you this powerful verse that changed the mind of one of the most powerful kings in the world, who think that he is in charge of his own life. Daniel 4:17. Let me just read the one part. To the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. You know, this particular king was chastised by God until he came to his senses. That God wanted this king to know, you're not in charge, I am. And Christian, is a very important thing. You know why? Because when we are going through the trials and difficulties, you know, in the context of Hebrews 11, you will find that many of the men of God that we bring out over the next few weeks, they went through a lot of difficulties, but yet they went through it. You know why? By faith. But you know what kind of faith, how this faith lives by revelation. You can never live by your own speculation. Many of us do that. We need to be careful. Over in Burma, Adnaran Judson. Who knows Adnaran Judson? Adnaran Judson is a missionary to Myanmar, the very first one. All right, and he was lying in a foul jail, just filthy jail with about 20 kilograms of chains on his ankles. His feet was bound to a bamboo pole. A fellow prisoner look at him and say, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of a heathen? And then he said, you want to convert the heathen? You know what Adnaran Judson instantly told him? The future is as bright as God's promises. Did you know up to today, Anaranja Sen went there about 1800s, if I'm not wrong? Right? You know, up to today, many churches in Myanmar attributed Christianity to Anaranja Sen. Did you know that? Up to today, many of the Myanmar Burma churches attributed Christianity to Anaranja Sen. You know why? Because Anaranja Sen believed God. Though I'm in jail, the future is as bright as God's promises. Because if God sent him there, God will get him to do a work there. How do you live your life? Do you live by speculation? By information from Google? Do you live by information or statistics from Google? Do you live by your opinions of your friends? You know, let's turn to John 11. I want us to highlight this, and hopefully God's word will help us to see. John 11, there's this trial that happened. Trial that happened in Mary and Martha's life. There was a trial that had happened in the life of Mary and Martha. What's this trial? What happened to Mary and Martha? His brother passed away. That's a sad thing. It's a tragedy. How do you get through a tragedy? Question, can we as Christians get through a tragedy? Absolutely. With Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. There is nothing. Christians, if you are a Christian, I believe in my faith, there's nothing Jesus cannot overcome. That's my God. I hope he's your God too. If you find a limitation, then we need to look at the scriptures. In John chapter 11, Mary and Martha was very sad. The brother has passed away. These three were very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus was sent for. In other words, when Lazarus was sick, people actually come and call Jesus to come and heal him. Jesus delayed it because there was a greater purpose. So as Jesus was coming in verse 20, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Perhaps she was still lamenting and crying. In verse 21, then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. That's faith. I believe you, Lord. I believe you. In verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Notice what Jesus said. Notice Martha's response. Oh, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. There is a general belief in the resurrection. What, in your knowledge of the Bible, was Jesus referring to? Jesus was going to raise Lazarus the same day. Applying it to ourselves, we have a general knowledge of the doctrines of the Bible. But sometimes our faith don't work when it comes to the everyday stuff. That's why some people can't take difficulties because they don't see the relevance of God's word to everyday life. When Jesus said, your brother is going to raise, you're right. And Jesus, in his intention, was going to raise Lazarus the same day. But for Martha was, oh yeah, Lord, I know, you know, sometimes when God gives solutions, or when we pray, God, I know you're in control, but we're so fatalistic. You know, it's fatalistic. We just kind of quay, say, whatever will be. Christians, we don't live like that. We live by faith. And then in verse 24, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believer thou this? Do you believe that Lazarus can rise from the dead? Say, yes, but his was a general faith. Jesus was saying, today, Lazarus is going to rise from the dead. Let me ask you, how long do you have your problems with you already? And why is it still there? I'm not saying that some problems won't last. I'm not saying that. You know, in many of our intervention with children with learning problems, some children have brain problems that cannot be fixed. So we look always at outcomes two ways. One, we help the child get better, or we make the carer stronger. Does that make sense? So if this child is improved, that's one outcome. in therapy. Because if he progresses, he can move forward, right? But what if this child cannot actually move forward? You know what we do? We do a lot of parent education to strengthen this parent, give him skills. And one of the outcomes is that over time, this parent will feel more confident in how to take care of a child that doesn't want to grow. In other words, God, I believe, many times chooses not to change our situation because He wants us to learn to live by faith. And over time, your faith will be evident to the people around you that through the crisis of your life, God is still being honored. His word is still being upheld. His promise is still being believed in. And your character becomes stronger for Him. That's why I read to you Hebrews 11, because many of the Old Testament saints did not actually get delivered from their trials, because they would rather trust God and give up their lives than to break the promises of God, than to be unfaithful to God. Christians, how do you live? Do you live by speculation? Your own opinions? Or do you live by revelation of God? If we don't get this, the next few weeks to you will be pointless. You know why we study the Bible? Because this Bible is not just words. It is the voice. It is the voice of God, spoken from heaven, written down for us, so that we can read it daily, believe it, and live it. I tell my children, when they do their Bible reading, when you read your Bibles, make sure you interact with the Bible. How to interact with words? In other words, you ask questions. Lord, what do you mean by that? How come you raised Lazarus? Why did you weep, Lord? John 11:35. You ask God a question, you ask the text. Why did Jesus weep? Oh, you need to interact with the text. Many times we read the Bible, we just read, close the Bible, thank God our conscience is clear for that day. No, you need to read and ask God. And can I encourage you, every time you read the Bible, ensure that you learn something from it before you leave it. But Brother Johnny, I only have 15 minutes. Well, would you care to wait for the Lord? Sometimes God just needs us to wait on Him to speak to us. Christian, do you live by the revelation of God? Do you know why some Christians are still living? You know, some Christians, the outcome is that the trouble is not changed, but the person is not changed as well. You know what will happen? The problem will remain. It will remain. Turn to Matthew 13:58. May God challenge our faith this morning. Matthew 13:58. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. And He did not many works there because of their unbelief. If we put our names in there. And Jesus did not do many mighty works in the life of Johnny because of his unbelief. Is there situations that you feel that you just can't change? Can I say this? Do you believe God can change your situations? Do you believe that? You know what? If you believe that, you will say, yes, I believe that, because that's what God says. That's what God says. If God says, and I'm living in His will, God says, if I pray in His will, and I believe Him, I'll get what I want. Actually, it's not what you want, it's what He wants. What He wants becomes what you want, because you trust Him, and what His desires become your desires. Christians, faith lives by revelation. Then in verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, very quickly, faith pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says that faith is something that pleases God. When we place our faith in God, we gratify Him, we please Him, we give Him joy. Why? Because when we place faith in God, things are going to work for us. and we will grow. Things are going to be okay because His will is going to be done. When we learn to submit to Him, when we learn to submit to Him. You know, sometimes it's so hard because we live by our own speculation. You know, this and this, you know, so and so, this trend is, okay sometimes to use this as information, but at the end of the day, we don't know the future. God does. You know, in 1989, I think it was, once the Berlin Wall came down, right? 1989? Is that? No, 1988, I can't remember. No one predicted that. Alright? Russia got broken up into many states. USSR, one of the most powerful nations in the 1990s. Things happen in life that you and I have no control over. We don't know. But God does. God does. And when we learn to trust God, these are big things, but even in our lives, sometimes we will never know how the bills are going to get paid. We will never know how things are going to happen. But you know what? Faith in Christ becomes real because we trust God for what He's going to do. And it pleases Him. It should be the priority of every Christian to please God. Would you agree with that? It must be, it should be the priority of every Christian to please God. And nothing pleases God more than to live a life of faith. How do you please God? That you, the Bible says that you must believe that He is. You must believe that He is. Not what He can do for you. Many Christians come to God. I say this, there was one lady Christian in the when I was doing research. She said, no, these people treat God as a lawyer. You know why? They only come to God when they have a case. Don't treat God like a lawyer. But you only pray when you have problems. He's your Savior. He's the one who loved you. Have a burning, constant relationship with Him. That like singing as when the way is clear, praying when the way is drear. We sing the song just now. We need to have the constant relationship with God. It pleases Him. It pleases Him. Matthew 15, let's look there at one lady who pleased God through her faith. Even though it was God pushing her away, in Matthew 15, verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Also, Jesus was going to this place. There was another lady who came. This lady was not a Jew. Okay, that's a very important principle. She is not a Jew. Okay, but she has a daughter who was very, very sick. She's grievously vexed with a devil. In other words, she was afflicted, she's tormented by a devil. This mom had a heart of love for her daughter. She went to Jesus. She went to Jesus and said, please come and help my daughter. What did Jesus say, verse 24? I'm not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. My priority is just the Jews. You know, in verse 25, in simple faith, Lord, help me. There's no one else can help me. Lord, help me. And then in verse 26, Jesus gave another reason. I cannot take what belongs to the Jews and give it to you. It's not meet for me to take the crumbs that fall from a food that belongs to the children and give it to dogs. Jesus called her a dog. But that was a phrase during those times. The outcasts, the Gentiles were called dogs. You know what? The lady said, God, yes, that's true. But even dogs will eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Her desperation for a daughter was so great and her faith in Christ. You know why I believe it was a faith in Christ? Because the Bible says in verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. That you would persist and willing to humble yourself to be even caught a dog. Woman, great is thy faith. You know what Jesus said there? Faith pleases God. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And that daughter was whole from the very hour. Miracles do happen. Your loved ones can be saved. Did you know that? I believe my in-laws will be saved. It will take time. Because God said, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That's faith in God's word. And the Bible says, the last point, faith will be rewarded. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God says your faith will be rewarded. I'm looking forward to the time that my in-laws will be saved. Christians, is your trial so hard that you don't have faith to trust God that God will take you through? Christians, we need to live lives of faith, that our lives will be lives of light. Those people around, that even through the trials, that people can say, everyone is so anxious, how come you as Christians can stand? You know why? Because we can stand because of grace of God in our life, and we appropriate it by faith. I can tell you, human strength is not going to get you through the trials of life, because some trials of life are more than our human strength can take. God's strength, by faith, can be given to us. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, what did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you know, in the context of that verse, sometimes we will think, oh, don't worry, I can do all things through Christ. The context of Philippians 4, Paul was in prison. He could have been bitter. He could have been discontented. People didn't take care of him. But you know what he says? Even through the trial of being in prison, I can do all things. My character can still change. I can still pray and God will still answer. I can still do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me through that trial. And I believe many Christians need this message, because you need to live a life of faith. God wants you to appropriate what He has. And genuine faith, remember, gives reality to the Word of God. When God says, do you believe God says Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Do you believe that? If you believe that, you won't be anxious. You will still be in the work of God. You'll still be serving Him. You know why? Because many people in the scriptures, missionaries, even though support doesn't come, they still keep on pressing on to serve God. You know why? Because they believe God will supply. Hudson Taylor, George Mueller, these people who often, George Mueller it was, he took care of about 2,000 to 10,000 orphans at one time. He often time, there are many times he said in his autobiography, many times we prayed, Lord, thank you for the food that you are going to provide. And there was no food there. And God supplied. Let me say this, not all of us are called to that kind of faith. We all have different levels of faith, but you know what? You know, all God wants to do is, maybe you're just very concerned every time for your daily life. You know what? You can overcome that by just putting faith in God's promises that He will provide for you and start doing what He says. Christians, we need to learn to live by faith. And faith will be rewarded. A few instances, the issue of blood. Remember, there was this lady who had an issue of blood 12 years and spent all the money and no one could heal him. The physicians couldn't heal him. Well, when Jesus walked past, what did she say? I just have to touch the hem of His garment. I'll be healed. And guess what? Through the crowd, she touched. Instantly, she was healed. But Jesus, of course, is not going to let that pass. He needed to be a testimony to everyone. He said, who touched me? And then the disciples say, Lord, please, sir. There are many, many people around you. What do you mean, who touched you? Jesus knows when someone comes to Him. So maybe we have been praying, God, please help me in my trials, but you will not earnest it. And after you pray, you just walk away and live your own life. No, you need to beg God. This lady gave His whole heart, that even she touched. You know what the Bible says later on in Mark 5:34? And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace, and be whole of this plague. Blind Bartimaeus. I don't know, when I read that, it's so interesting. And I believe it's applicable to all of us. Blind Bartimaeus. Say, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. Keep quiet, are you? Remember? People say, keep quiet, are you? No, bring him here. And everyone then brought blind Bartimaeus. You know what's the first thing Jesus asked him in Mark 10:51? What would thou that I should do to you? Don't you know? Don't you think Jesus knew that Bartimaeus was blind? Huh? But you know what? God's not going to assume. What do you want from me? Maybe Bartimaeus, God, I'm very hungry now. Can you give me some bread? You know, Jesus will probably give him bread. Because that's what you ask, ma. Sometimes we come to God asking for, God, I want riches. I want a promotion. I want this. I want this. But we fail to see the deepest need of our lives. You know, someone, for fathers, you know what's the deepest need of our lives? For fathers, we need to be so in love with Jesus. Because if you are a Christian, your faith will impart reality to your life. That your wife, your children will know you are a Christian without doubt. Pose a challenge to the fathers. If you are put on the stand You are convicted. And your children have been asked to give witness of your life. And the lawyer comes and says, children so and so. Is it true that your dad goes to church? And then the children say, yeah, Papa says he's a Christian, but of the 10 years I know him, he only goes to church 2 times. Oh, okay. Is it true, children so and so, that your dad would read the Bible with you every day? Because that's what the Bible says, Deuteronomy 6. Then she says, actually, only 1 time. Because Sunday school, I want to win the memory verse. Then he read with me. Other than that, he don't do it. Oh. All right, children, so and so. Is it true that you have had answers to prayer? Because your dad prayed with you. And then, actually, my papa never prayed with me. Every time he comes from, he read newspaper, watch TV, play iPad, go and sleep. Oh, Your Honor, no more questions. What do you think the judge would say? No, Christian, that's convicting, isn't it? How about you as a father? Only recently have I learned I need to invest in my children. Sad thing, right, for a pastor of so many years. Yeah, I teach them the word. I thank God for my children. But I wish I put more time of not just investing and giving to them, but investing my heart into them. When I believe that God will change my children for His glory and honor, I need to take God at His word. I thank God. God says, train up your children in the way He should go, and when He so, He will not depart from it. Parents, I'm going to say something, and hopefully it will seek to challenge you. When your child grows up, will he still be serving Jesus Christ? Or will he be faithless, seeking his own ways, living by speculation? Or will he be living because of the consistency of your life by the revelation of God's word? Can I say, there is nothing stable in this world but the unchanging word of God. That everything you do can be measured by the Holy Spirit. Everything that he has ever given to us is in this word. But you know what? Faith will be rewarded. Mothers as well, you're not exempted. Your role in the Bible is to support your husband as you pray for him. And if you are put on that court, would you also experience the same cross-examination by the lawyer? But Brother Johnny, you know I'm going through a hard time in my life. That's exactly what Paul wants us to do. Learn to trust him. That was exactly the examples that we're going to go over the next few weeks. I'm going to show you from the scriptures how these people live by faith. Oh yeah, by the way, God's grace is available to us every day. Would you agree with that? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our life. That is God's promise. God won't lie. The last I checked, he kept all his promises. Amen. And God says, surely, the word goodness in the Old and mercy in the Old Testament is grace. God's grace is over us every day. But you know what? Sometimes we don't appropriate the grace that God gave us. But Brother Johnny, how do you understand this? Parents, if you have half an hour at home and your children are just playing the iPad and you are also playing the iPad, that's an opportunity for you to spend time with your children. Let's put the iPad away. But I want to play. Later on, let's do the Word of God first. Christians, life is short. No, my children are growing. I thank God I still have some years to influence them. Some of you have lost the opportunity. But where there's life, there's still hope. Amen? Hope is never far away. When there's life, there's hope. When you begin to say, God, I believe. I believe your word to say, train up my children in the way it should go. Lord, I want my child to be a Christian who loves you, to be protected from the sins of this world, to be grow up to be useful to God and useful to man and useful to your work. And God, I'm going to invest because faith makes the future present, and I'm going to spend time right now believing in your word that God says, you promise that if I train him, my child will not fall away. Fathers, are you putting in that effort? Maybe you're just a Christian and you don't, may not have a family or yearn for a family. What is God's will for you? What is God's will for you to be a faithful man? To do what God wants you to do in his word. As we close, I can go on and on. But you know what? I get excited because God wants our church to be to live by faith. You know what? If you live by faith, it will be evident. Families will change. Characters will change. Children will change. Why? Because they are getting their faith lessons from the ones that care for them. And there's someone here who in your life have been trying to live the Christian life. You need to live it by faith. You know, sometimes I wonder, I'll be honest with you as pastor, you know, I always say, you need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You know, you need to spend time in God's Word. Why do you think we need to do that? Why do you think, Feng Tian Wei, you know Feng Tian Wei? One of the top table tennis players in Singapore. Every day do this. Do you think she'll be sian? Do you think she'll be sian? Why do bodybuilders go there and why? So that they can win the prize. Many Christians are looking for a variety in their life. God is calling us to consistency in faith. Let's pray. Lord, we don't know how to end. I commit this hour into your hands, this time. Not an hour, Lord, just this time. Lord, as we grow as Christians, as we go through life, you know we've been ambassadors for many years. Some of us have visited with ambassadors, some of us are members. Lord, sometimes we fail to see the reality of faith in our lives. Oh, we see your grace, Lord. We see your goodness. We see your... But Father, the things we read in the Bible don't seem real to us because we don't do it. Because of unbelief. Purely because of unbelief. God, when you ask us to walk by faith in your word, when you ask us to forgive because you say that we don't forgive, you will not forgive us. You ask us to run this race by your strength, and yet we depend on our own thinking. When you say to be faithful to the local church, to be there, Lord, every time it's open, Hebrews 10:25, there's unbelief in our hearts. Lord, we want to be a people of faith. I believe it is a sincere cry of every born-again Christian. And I believe, Lord, over the next few weeks, you want your people to grow in faith. In a world that is fraught with skepticism, a world that challenges every truth that's preached from the Bible, in a world that declares that they are gay and is a gift of God, which is an utter lie. In a world that says right is wrong and wrong is right. Lord, we want to live by faith. Lord, there are many things that we know, Lord, perhaps we have not lived by faith. Because we really believe, Lord, your word, we will do it. Because faith imparts reality to what we believe. Eyes closed, heads bowed. I believe in being a pastor who knows and prays in the heart. I'm thankful for brethren who are praying for me as well. But you know what? Can I ask you this question? Is your faith real to you? I'm not saying a figment of imagination that, but you have known Christ for many years and he's such a dear Savior. Not in what he has done for you, but just as a person of God. That even through the toughest of times, you may not get what you want. You still love him so much. You will not neglect what he tells us to do. Christians, are we living by faith? By revelation of the Word of God? Or are we living by speculation? Is our lives built on speculation of our, perhaps our culture, of our philosophy? Or is it, are we grounded in God's Word that says, my decisions, my ways must be built on the Word of God? Perhaps God has spoken to our hearts today and said, God, I want to live by faith. I don't really know how. You know, just simply trusting Christ and what He says. If God says, be holy, say, Lord, I'm going to be holy. I don't know how, but I'm just going to trust You. I want to be holy in everything. You know what? God will begin to show you from the Word as you read. Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me to live a life of faith. There's someone like that. Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you that God will strengthen. Amen. I see that hand. I see those hands. Amen. Amen. I see those hands too. Amen. I see that hand too. Living by faith. Say, someone else. I want to live by faith, Lord. To trust You. Lord, it's You. Yes, Your grace is available, but Lord, give me the grace to give me the strength to appropriate that by faith. It's no longer Jesus is the Savior of the world, but we will say Jesus is my Savior. Is there someone else? Pray for me, Pastor. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Is there anyone else? Oh, brethren, we are in a place that God wants to help us to live that life together by faith. Is there someone else? Alright, if you're here today, you will say, yeah, Brother Johnny, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God. But you know, I've never prayed a prayer and said, Lord, I know You are the Savior of the world, but I've never really made You my Savior. That's faith. It's mine. Is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, I need to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I've never done that. But I want to do it today. Is there someone like that? To be my Savior, to wash me from my sin, and I might be on my way to heaven. Is there someone like that? Put up right hand, I'll pray for you. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the couples and the people who have put up their hands. Lord, living a life of faith, Lord, sometimes we go through trials and temptations. Because as we will see over the next few weeks, living a life of faith requires us to really hold on to Your Word. Just as Abraham did when he said, when You told him, kill your son and sacrifice him. And Abraham was able to do it because simply he trusted You, that You are able, even from the dead, raise up Isaac. Lord, we need You to teach us this faith. Even as we read Thy Word, because You have said very clearly, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh God, that we will be more in Your Word. That we will be more in Your Word. That we will read it, and we will interact with it, and we will ask You questions as we spend that time, not in a mystical way, but just asking, Lord, what does that mean? What does this mean? That we may understand Your Word, and that it might create faith in our lives. Father, I pray for everyone who has put up their hand. Lord, I pray You see the need of their lives. And I pray even as they appropriate the faith that You are giving to them through Your Word, that God, You are going to provide all their needs. That God, You will take them through in Isaiah chapter 43 in verse 10, when You go through the fire, I will be with You. And in Matthew chapter 28 in the last verse, Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world. And when, Father, many times You say, be not afraid, I'm with you. Lord, many times You promise in Your Word, Lord, is Your personal promise. That sometimes we feel a bit low. Sometimes we feel that people ostracize us when we understand Jeremiah 31:3, behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love. God, Your Word is so precious. And I pray that everyone who has put up their hand will find Your Word more precious as they hang on and make the reading of their Bible a reality in their lives. Oh, Father, we're not interested in a play Christianity. Lord, we need You to touch our lives. Why? Because there are people who are not saved, people who need Jesus in their lives. But unless we can live the life of faith, Lord, it's hard, very hard for us to send out the life of faith to someone else. Father, thank You for this. Well, thank You for every brethren to put up their hand. I pray that You will strengthen their resolve to trust You more. That, Lord, every time they read the Word, irregardless of what they think or feel, if they have understood what You said in Your Word, help them to just say, Lord, I believe what You say and I'm going to trust You on that. I pray the ambassador will be a people of faith, just like the early church was. Lord, that we will trust you even with our lives. That, Father, we will love you more than our lives. And that, Father, whatever you want to do with our lives, it is okay, because we know by faith you are an all-wise God. We know by faith your word tells us you have the best for us. We know by faith, and we want to believe that, and we will believe that. And I pray, Lord, that you keep us strong in your word, and keep us strong in your love for one another as well. And as we close in this song, Trusting Jesus, and I pray you will touch our hearts, Lord, that when we leave this place, we will resolve to be a child of faith. That, Father, the faith will change our character. And, Father, by your grace, it will change the situation we may be in. But we know, Lord, even if the situation doesn't change, by faith, you want to change us. Father, we are willing. And I believe I can pray on the behalf of Ambassador, Lord, that we are willing for you to change us. But God, give us grace and strength that we need. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for every father. I pray for every father now, that you give them the additional grace and strength they need to live by faith, to make decisions for their family that will influence their family to walk the life of faith. The Father, there will be no resistance, but obedience to the authority that you've given to them. Pray for every mom, that by faith, Lord, they will submit to their role as well, to support, to encourage the husband to walk with God. I pray for every child, that when dad makes an instruction the best way he knows how through your word, that every child will listen to that instruction. And by the life of the father, the children will be motivated to also walk with God. I pray for everyone, every child who wants to walk their own way, I pray, Lord, you will change their minds. That they will come to see the life of faith is a life of revelation, not a life of speculation, what we like or what you like. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for every one who may be the only Christian in the family. And I pray that through their life by faith, the people around, Lord, as they patiently wait on you to live the Christian life, the people around them will be touched as well, that they might be drawn closer to Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're going to do. As we sing the closing hymn, Trusting Jesus, I pray that you would touch our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.